We mentioned last week that there's three major opinions in the obligation to take off a miser of one's money, miser ksafim. We mentioned that the most extreme opinion is that it's a mitzvah deraisa. That's one such opinion. The Chassam Sofer quotes in the name of Maril. Many achrayim take issue with that Maril. They say it doesn't exist. But there is such an opinion that it's deraisa, possibly based on a Sefri in quoted by Tosfos Daf Tes Samad Aleph and Tainus, that might be deraisa. The second opinion is that it's a derabbanan. That seems to be a dispute between the Bach and the Taz, father-in-law and son-in-law, to whether or not it's the Rabbanan. And the last opinion is the way the Bach himself writes it, is it's what we call a minug. It's only a minug. That's the way many Achrayim assume. Later Achrayim assume like that it's only a minug. Earlier Achrayim and even contemporary Achrayim assume that the idea of giving Maisik Safim is probably a minug. It's not a Chiv Deraisa, it's not a Chiv Derabbanan, it's a minug. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes like that in a tshuva. He writes clearly that he thinks it's a minug. Someone was just telling me today, Rabbi Felder from Philadelphia, Zatzal, was a close Talmud of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe once told him he learned two things. He learned three things. I only remember two of them, he told me. Rav Moshe told his father he learned three things when he came to America. The first thing is he learned that Meiser on your money is a chiv. Rav Moshe in Europe, it was always a minug, like Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva. He says the other thing Rav Moshe told his father he once learned when he came to America was he's supposed to have Sheva Brachas every single day. He says in Europe, no one had Sheva Brachas for 7 days. They had it. And this we spoke about when we learned the Sugi of Sheva Brachas as well. So when Rav Moshe writes that the tshuva, I don't know why people don't reference it. Either they're trying to convince people that it's not true. Rav Moshe writes a clear tshuva where he said it's a minug. Rav Asher Weiss writes like that in his Pirush on Chumash. He writes it's a minug. Now again, I'm not trying to convince people not to give my ksafim. I think it's a very, very important thing, and we'll talk today about its importance. But we have to at least be honest with ourselves when we discuss responsibilities and chiyuvim. I think the accepted custom today, and if you look at many of the svarim that were written today, contemporary svarim, they assume like this, that my ksafim is a minug. However, Rav Asher Weiss kind of plays it both ways. He says it's a minug, but it still carries the potency as described by many, that aseh b'shul shetes asher, that if a person gives my ksafim, he will become rich, and we have the right to test the Kadosh Baruch Hu with it. So it carries a strong power, although it might only be a minute. So, let's just be honest when we discuss the sugya. We're going to assume it's a minute, but we're going to assume it's a pretty chash of a minute. There are those who make the argument that if it's a minute, it might be binding even deraisa. We know that minhagim sometimes take on a very strong level of obligation where they might even become in the category of a deraisa. We're going to assume that it's a minug, but it's a very strong minug and definitely a very endorsed minug. What we're going to discuss this evening is, assuming we're taking off ma'isa, which we probably should, where exactly should that money go? So that's what we're going to talk about. The terms of Meiser and Stucker get very overlapped and blurred how they work out. So we're going to try to tackle some of these issues and some of the practical issues of where should the money go. And we'll talk mainly three major areas of Meiser that I want to discuss this evening. Firstly is going to be whether or not supporting older children, I don't mean married children, older children above the age of 6 might be able to be used for Meiser money. The second major topic that's discussed is tuition money. We'll be able to talk tuition money. And then the last topic is what I call odds and ends of different various topics where you're always presented with the question, may I use Meiser, may I not use Meiser money? We need to discuss that as well. Again, if you assume Meiser ksafim is only a minug, one could probably go l'kulam in a suffix. If it would be deraisa, suffix deraisa should be l'chumma. But if it's only a minug, so whatever the minug was. So if today the minug is you give Meiser money for pretty much everything and anything, so that should fly as well. So let's see the Shulchan Aruch and Mechaber Shulchan Aruch, interesting halacha. Before we even get to Maisa, we're going to talk a possibility of maybe not giving a Maisa, but instead of giving a Chaimish, instead of giving a tenth, maybe we should be giving a 20th of our earnings. Now that's a lot of money. So the Shulchan Aruch writes like this in Shulchan Aruch, Yerdei Reshma Tetzel, Shulchan Aruch writes, Shein Nesina, what is the amount that a person is supposed to give for charity? So he says, Im Yodei Maseges, if you can afford it, Yitenki Fitzar Chaniyim, as much as there's a need. Give as per need. So if there's people that need money, keep on giving. You don't stop. Then if you don't have that much money, so then yitin ad chaimish. You should give up to a fifth of your money. Ad chaimish nechasev mitzvah min amavcha. The real way to do it, you want to do the things the best way, give a fifth. But if you can't do that, so we do what's called mida beinanis, which the Vilna Gaon and others say this is what our ma'aser is. Our ma'aser is a tenth. Then he describes how to give the chaimish. The Ramah adds, but al yivaz viz yosem yichemish. The Gemara in Ksubas tells us that you're not allowed to spend more than a fifth on a mitzvah. Al yivaz viz yosem yichemish. Why? So it's tarich libriyus. Because what's going to happen? You're going to give away all your money, then you become poor. So someone else is going to have to support you. So we don't really gain anything. Says the Rama, v'dafka kol yimei chayav. This is only when a person is alive. because he needs to live. When a guy's on his deathbed, he says, you know, give away all my money to tzedakah. And the Yerushim are screaming there, what are you talking about? No, give it to us. There is such a halacha. There is a halacha that even someone on his deathbed cannot give away all his money to the point that the Yerushim won't have anything left. There's rules and regulations how much they have to leave for the Yerushim. But says the Ramah, Al Yivaz V'Yaseh Mechemesh does not apply when he's about to die. We'll see in a few minutes, the Chafetz Chaim has six other exceptions to the rule of Al Yivaz V'Yaseh. But the way the Shulchan Aruch describes it, it sounds like the best way to give tzedakah or meiser is not to give a tenth, but it's really to give a 20th, a fifth of your nechas. So we all think that that's not what we're really supposed to do. We're supposed to do a mida beinonis. However, in the Sefer Keser Rosh, we write Chaim V'Lozhin. Chaim V'Lozhin was a prized Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. So he writes some of them in Hagim of the Gaon. And he writes in number two, Omar B'Shem Rabbi Hagra, Shekol HaShemer Meiser Muftach B'Kach Shelo Yovel Yidei Hizikla. A person's careful with taking off Meiser, no damage will befall him. The HaShemer Chaimesh, and if a person's careful to give a fifth of his estate, Muftach Sheyis Asher, he is guaranteed that he will become rich. The Yushrush Bezeh Midas HaBitochen, and it will root in him the Midah of Bitochen. Then he writes, V'alavai kol Yisrael ha'yishayim b'maiser. Halavai all of Klai Yisrael is marked by this. Then ha'yim miskayim ha'posik efes ki lo yebuch ha'evyen. Then we wouldn't have any aniyim in Klai Yisrael. If everyone gave away so much money, there wouldn't be any aniyim. Then the Vilna Gaon takes it even further. Right under that, there's a letter he wrote to his family. He told his family, Uleman Hashem, Shetafish es ha'chimish. And for the sake of Hashem, everyone should take off a fifth of their estate. Like I commanded you. Do not take less than a fifth. Now it sounds like from Shulchan Aruch that a fifth is a mitzvah min hamufchar. Not for regular people. Hilma Vilna Gaon assumed that everyone should be taking his family. He ordered them all to take off a fifth. He thinks because if you don't give a fifth, you might be running to shows that you didn't give enough tzedakah. This is very hard to understand because the Shulchan Aruch rules that there's a basic minimal amount of tzedakah you need to give. It comes out to be either $1.60 a year or $4 a year. Very, very little. It's almost impossible. You daven here one shachris, you're ready, good to go. Two shachrises a week, you're ready, way, way beyond what you need to give. So it's very hard to believe this. But this is the comment that the Vilna Gaon, he's saying that if you don't give at least a fifth, you might be in transgression of some of the issues. So the Vilna Gaon was a big believer in a fifth, you should take off a fifth. Not only Vilna Gaon, there's a sefer written, it's great in English, but it's a very nice sefer written by Reb Chaim Foyer. Reb Chaim Foyer is a Rav in Muncie. He was the son-in-law by Reb Gifter. So he writes that Reb Pam told him that today in America, because in America, Baruch Hashem, we're living in a much more financially stable place than we ever did in our history, Reb Pam held that we should all be taking off a fifth. Okay, that's what he writes from Reb Pam. I don't know. It's interesting, if you look at number three, they quote from the Chazon Ish. In the Sefer Archas Rabbeinu, Omar li Agoyim Chaim Kanevsky Shlita, Chaim Kanevsky Shlita said about his father, She'aviv, my father, the stipler, Omar loy told me, Shemar and Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish, who was his uncle, the stipler's brother-in-law, he gave away way more than a fifth, which seems to be a problem because it says Al Yivazvei Yaseh Mechaymish. So the truth is, Rav Moshe has a truth in Igros Moshe where he discusses, is Al Yivazvei is a prohibition or Al Yivazvei means you're not mechoyv? Here's a whole discussion. It sounds like from the Gemara, Al Yivazvei is you shouldn't. Not just you're not mechoyv, it sounds like you shouldn't. Someone just told me a story today with Reb Shach, that someone went to Reb Shach and he was saying he doesn't have enough money for Meiser. Reb Shach says, I make a lot less than you and I give him much more than you, I give him more than a chaymish also. So there were gedolim like the Vilna Gaon and the Chazon Ish and possibly Reb Shach and maybe Reb Pam that held you should be giving a chaymish. He writes, but my father, Omali told me, should be ikra nosan Meiser. The stipler used to give really a tenth. But officially, by principle, he gave a tenth, but by the time everything was said and done, he gave a lot more than a tenth, he probably gave closer to a fifth. And there's another piece from the stipler where he writes, this referred to the stipler in the year 1965, where he asked him, what's the deal with this Vilna Gaon? The Vilna Gaon makes it sound like we should all be taking off a fifth. Most of us don't take off a fifth, we take off a tenth. So he writes, Mashikasev b'michtav hagra, shetzvichem lahafish chemir, shupachim zeh oivim ha'kol rega, kamalam vasei, kavonas hagra, latztikim bali madregas gedolim. He says, the Vilna Gaon is not for everyone. The Vilna Gaon is for people that aren't such a madrega. If you're such a madrega, yeah, you should be giving a fifth. Reb Shach and the Chazon Ish. They're on that madrega. For the rest of us, I guess we could say we should be happy that we're doing a tenth. That much we're doing, we're not going to push it to a fifth. Okay. It's interesting to note that in the Sefer Derech Amunah, that's the Sefer written by Reb Chaim Kanievsky on Zroyim and other interesting topics. So there he quotes from the Sefer Avas Chesed, which was written by the Chafetz Chaim, one of the smaller Svarim that the Chafetz Chaim wrote, written called Avas Chesed, where he discusses Chesed and Tzedakah and Meiser and all these good things. So the Chafetz Chaim comes up with five or six exceptions to the rule of Al Yivaz V'Yaseh Mechemish. When you are permitted to give away more than a fifth of your value, you are allowed to give. And what are some of the excuses? They're interesting. He writes, Because of Avas Chesed Perichov, Sheishisho Ifanish and Mutal of Azvis, this is 2b. He says there's 6 times we're allowed to give away more than a fifth. What are they? Echad Makim Kuach Nefesh. It's a question of someone's life. A guy says, listen, if you don't give him, okay, I'm not talking about ransom, because when you have ransom shiles, that's a Gemara in Gittin, that we're not allowed to take too much ransom because of shiles of, they're going to keep on doing it. That's why the Maharam Rutenberg didn't allow himself to be redeemed and he died in jail. This was a whole shiloh when the plane with Rapuntner was captured, what to do, there was a whole discussion. They went to Rabbi Yaakov what to do, based on that Gemara in Gittin. He said, let's say someone's dying, he needs money for surgery. One individual's dying and the doctor says the surgery is going to cost $100,000. And the guy says, oh, I don't have that. That's more than a fifth. So you got to give it. Secondly, bedover miyut. Okay, we'll skip that one for a second. Number 3 is more interesting because it's a little bit more musri. He says, ba'osher muflik. Guy is so fantastically wealthy that even if we were to give away a fifth, no problem. It keep on replenishes. You don't have to worry. That's another excuse, another exception. 4. 5 is lahachsakas ha'tayra. Every good yeshiva fundraiser knows this halach. That if you want, even though you're bound by a rule, value vazvez b'chaymish, not for Torah. Supporting Torah, give away all your money. He quotes it based on a shittim u'kubetz and ksubis. So every good fundraiser knows this halacha. When it comes to any wealthy person's house, and the guy says, listen, I'm already maxed out. Value vazvez b'chaymish says, no. Chavetz Chaim paskins lachsokas ha'Torah, you can go way beyond the fit. That's another chiddush. And the last one is interesting. He writes, misha b'lavach yimifazim ha'oisav lahavolim. The guy, anyways, is blowing his money on stupid things. A guy who's just wasting his money just to live a fancy lifestyle. He says, he's talking to the Shaykh Hatzal Klal to Kanazu. He doesn't fit into this rule. If he's going to spend money on other foolish things and waste his money, he should spend his money already on stock. So the Chafetz Chaim has built in clause to when a person is allowed to be Vazvez Yaisim Mechemish. But the assumption is that most of us are going to talk about Maisa. We're going to talk about giving a tenth instead of talking about giving a fifth. Pashas is yearly, annually. So that's always a question which we have to talk about. When we're going to talk about Maisa, it's the same question. When we talk about giving a tenth of what? Before bills, after taxes, before taxes. So Pashtus, again, I would like to get to a tenth, but if we don't, it's important to know, when we talk about revenue, it has to be what you made. Meaning, if you spent money to make that money, then you didn't really make all that money. For example, if it costs you money, you make $100,000 officially, but to make that $100,000, you have to spend $25,000 on various things. So you didn't really make $100,000. You made $75,000. So you pay Maisa on what you really bring home. A classic example that many achronim talk about, and this is interesting, let's say you spend money on your job. They speak about for women. Let's say a lady who's a teacher, or she works in a job where she needs to continuously change her outfit. She wants to have nice clothing. So she spends all this money on clothing to be able to do her job. Or babysitting. Let's say someone spends money on babysitting. So by the time you come home, babysitting costs you $500 a week. So you have to subtract it from how much you made because you weren't able to work if you were paying babysitting. So all these little things that we work into the equation, then after all that, then we could start to talk about maaser. There's a bigger machloekes achrenu, which I don't think we'll get to this evening, is do I calculate my take home from what I get from my boss or my take home after I pay all my bills? After I pay all my bills, and I pay electricity, and I pay my mortgage, and I pay the gas, and I pay the cell phone, now I'm left with what I call profit. On that, for most of us, it's zero. Do I pay Maaser from that, or do I take Maaser right off my paycheck? So there's a tshuva from Bavad Yosef, where he's actually lenient. He thinks that you could take it off of whatever you're left with at the end, which for many of us would be very little, but I think most people annoyed they take it from the salary. But even in the salary, you have to remember, you have various things that subtract from your salary that doesn't get misered. You don't look at what your boss gives you on the take-home. You have to ask yourself, well, what did I spend in order to get to this job? If I had to hire a worker to bring in that money, so then I subtract it from how much I brought it. Yeah, taxes are also a big question which we need to talk about if there's time. How does it work with tax, without tax, and various things along the way. But that's just a rule to remember. When you talk about Maaser, it's about what you took home that you didn't cost you more money. Meaning if it cost you money to bring home this money, that money is subtracted. However that scenario may be. If it's babysitting, if it's buying clothing, possibly transportation. If you have to spend $100 a week to get to your job, so that might be included in less take-home, because that's all part of working. So it gets a little bit more complicated to how exactly to calculate the number. It's interesting that Avas Chesed, the Chafetz Chaim, really believes in this fifth theory. He really thinks we should be taking off two fifths, which comes out to be a 20th, but he has a different scenario. They base it on the pasuk because it says, Kol asher titen li aser asren olach. I will take off a tenth twice, which sounds like I'm going to take off a fifth. So he comes up with an interesting idea. He thinks you shouldn't take off a 20%. He thinks you should do 2 times 10%. Why? He says, Shnei pa'amim ma'is o'il l'chemish. 2 times equals a fifth. How do you divide the fifth? He says, one of your taking off should go to Bali Torah, that should go to support people that are learning Torah. Because that's going to the people that are doing Hashem's work. That's going to, like the Kehanim Levim, like it says in the Pasuk of Ma'aseh, he thinks the second fifth, that can go to other good Jewish organizations, Hatzalah, build a navy, build a mikvah, all these other things which we'll talk about. But he thinks you should really have two separate maestros. One should go straight to Amoli B'Torah, those that are toiling and learning, and the other fifth should be used for other good Tzarchei Tzmitz. That's the way the Chofetz Chaim describes it.
Is he saying if it's $100, then you take off $10 to go to one?
Right.
Is it then you've got 90 left, so you take...
It sounds like you take it from that's what he talks about before. The first is from the Karen, and after that's from what's left. It's more complicated. It would sound like initially from the top. For now, you brought home $100, so you're going to take off 20% of that, and of that, half is going to go that way, and half is going to go that way.
So up to now, we're talking about
what
is the right
thing? No. Again, all this discussion is in the minute. In the minute, take off Meiser, how and where is it distributed? Right, he's saying, even if it's only going to be, this might be tzedakah the fifth, or might be ma'aser. What's interesting is the Chofetz Chaim points out that before a person starts to give ma'aser, which we'll have to actually discuss this evening, when is a person first obligated? Right, this is a lot of people unaware of, you know, teenage boys that have a job, and they make money in camp in the summer, they should take off ma'aser from that money. Girls who babysit, they make good money, some of them. I know that's up to $12 an hour. It's unbelievable. I told my wife, I'll stay home. I'll babysit and you go out. It's unbelievable. Some of these girls are making $12 an hour to sit and play on their phones. It's not a bad job. But in any case, a girl babysits, she's making money. So she should have to take off ma'aser from that money as well. We'll talk tonight, what about a katan? There's a child, a 12-year-old can have a job. Does a 12-year-old have to take off ma'aser? That's a separate child. But let's say a person starts taking ma'aser right after his bar mitzvah, which we'll talk about, does he have to take off ma'aser from his bar mitzvah presents? But the kid decides at 13 he wants to take off ma'aser. So the Chofetz Chaim writes that before he starts his whole ma'aser, or someone who's first learning about ma'aser, he should start right off the bat, everything is blin heder. Why is everything blin heder? Because again, this whole thing is really a minhag. So you're going to get yourself caught up in a minhag, and what happens if, let's say, 1 month, you can't give, or you don't want to give, you don't have enough money, or whatever the story may be, you don't want to set up a situation where now you're bound by minhag to continue to give. So therefore, the Chofetz Chaim writes over in number 6, he says, go back to explain how exactly you give of Meiser. You should make it tonight. When you start to do this, if this is the way you start, you'll circumvent all the problems. A. Rishon akol. First and foremost, says the Chofetz Chaim, toiv shiyasta betchilas kabalos es hamitzvah shehu blin eder. You're doing this blin eder. Obviously, it can't be a real chiyuv. You don't say that I'm putting on tefillin in the morning blin eder. You must put on tefillin. You don't have a choice. So it sounds like from here the Chofetz Chaim is assuming like us that it's really a minug, but it's a minug that if you do a certain amount of times becomes binding. So make sure you say clearly blin eder. Kidei shlo yichasul chas v'shalom avoyin ledarim like the is a sibul apamim. Kam yirishulei pinkas miyuchad. He thinks you should have a separate ledger or an account. I think many people have their Meiser account or their Meiser file where they write down how much money goes in and how much money goes out. This way you know exactly, instead of keeping it all mixed into your checking account, it gets very confusing. So he writes, you should have a separate account. After you subtract whatever it cost, now you know how much you have. So now I know I have X and Y money, now I know how much I have to give to Meiser. The question is, when does it become, let's say a person didn't know anything about Meiser, he was just giving it, and now he realized, hey, I didn't know the rules, I was giving too much, too little, I didn't know what I was doing, it wasn't Mekabel Neder, is he stuck? So there's a Mishnah Berurah, it's a Metovkuf Tzadizayin, that's actually in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, that's talking about fasting. If a person starts fasting, and this is a problem, but I try to point out to many of my younger Talmidim, when you start doing these nice Hanhaga Tovos, it's very nice. But every good thing that you do, which is even a mitzvah, make sure you start with Blin Neder, because you then get yourself boxed into a Shail of Neder. So anything that's a good thing you want to do, great. I'm going to start doing a Blin Neder. Now you'll tell me what happens if I didn't say it. So Mishnah Berurah writes over here, in number 7, Ayin Yeredei Esimereshe Dal Dimash Masham. The Minuk Shal Mitzvah Shenasa Keneder Hu Rakish Shehur Gulba. It only becomes binding like a Neder if you made a custom of it. Oy, afilu pamachas, even if you only did it once, but v'chishe b'shas ma'isi she'nikein noilam. A guy decides he wants to do a mitzvah. I plan on doing it forever. I'm going to learn daf yomi for the rest of my life. And 3 days in, he starts on the wrong masechta, they're learning erev, and he's out. So what happened now? He just made himself a neder. He's going to learn something. That might be a problem. So says the Chofetz Chaim, interesting, he doesn't say anything about this 3 times. We all have in our head 3 times. That's why in the Hatar Sedarim we say 3 times. Rabbi Yaakov Emden takes issue with this. He says, where does 3 times come from? The way we have it, it's either you do it once, or you're hergaluba. Well, so hergaluba might be 3 times. Maybe that's what hergaluba means. But if you decide when you get up in the morning, you say, I'm going to come to shachos every day for the rest of my life 10 minutes early. And you go once. That's it, you're done. You made an eder. because you decide you want to do it forever. So we have to be very careful what happens. So the question is, okay, so avo b'lav hachi ein nasa keneder aydesh asu pamachas. But other than that, if I just do it once because 1 month I made a lot of money and I decide I want to have an open heart and I want to give a chaymish. So you'll say, okay, so 1 month doesn't mean I have to give chaymish to the rest of the, for the rest of my life. But if a guy would to do that, I would make sure he says very clearly, I'm only giving you chaymish this month because Baruch Hashem, I did really well this month. I made a lot of money. So I want to be like the Vilna Gaon, but I'm doing this b'lineder. I'm not giving a chaymish every single month. That's not something I want to do. So again, you should speak out. Speak out. Definitely speak out. I'm doing this b'lineder.
But if you don't say anything...
So that it might be, again, depending on what your thought process is. If a guy is saying to himself, you know, this is my new norm. I heard about this Vilna Gaon, and I heard the Chazon Ish does a fifth. I want to do a fifth. And I make up, I'm going to do a fifth. The first month I do a fifth. The next month, there's no fifth to do. So now you might be stuck according to the Mishnah Berurah because you wanted to do this forever. But if you say, I'm only doing it this month. I don't want to make this a nether. This month was good, and I'm going to go month by month. This way, you don't get yourself into trouble. The problem is, let's say a person did get himself into trouble, what could he do? So if Shabbos Zaman or Bracholz for something like that, Hatar Sadarma and Erev Rosh Hashanah works. Obviously, real Hatar Sadarma also sometimes works. But here, for at least, if a person's last year, you know, this is very helpful, right after Rosh Hashanah, meaning right after Rosh Hashanah, we all start with a fresh slate of how we want to do our Meiser, how we want to give it, or what we want to give it to. We'll start off all with new, all Belineders, and this way, depending on what's going on, we have a little bit more flexibility. What about a person who doesn't have enough money to give Meiser? By the time he finishes paying all his bills, there is nothing left. Or he takes a salary home, but he can't take off a tenth of his salary. He won't be able to pay his bills. They're going to turn off his electricity, and they're going to throw his kids out of school, and they're going to throw him out of his house. What's he supposed to do? So again, it should also be totally a little bit in the lumness of why we take off Meiser. If Meiser is like Meiser Oni, which is such a comment made like that by many Achrayim and the Maril, so then the Chayyim, there's rules. An Oni who's so poor, he doesn't give tzedakah. He's got to give it to himself. The guy can't be poor, give money to other people. So the Doiviv Mishorim, that Shabina Rav, that Shabina Rav writes in the Tshuva, where he thinks, number 10, he writes, V'ini b'maisik sofim omnom, l'fi anir mitaisis and tainis, daf tes b'shem ha-sefri, nirishu min ha-tayra, if you go like taisvis, is a sheet that it's a sefri, which makes it midaraisa, even though Ramosha writes that sefris don't make it midaraisa, because Ramosha thought that whole sefri was not telling you a halacha, it was telling you a good idea. Says the Shabina, imken yeshloim ha-shagam, oni m'chuyiv li dikabay maisir oni. Then it's like maisir oni. Maisir oni and oni does have to give. It's stock and not. But maisir oni, another oni has to give. So he writes, Ulam kifim ha-shechriya ha-bach te'ein irak mid-rabonon. The Bach doesn't really say d'rabonon, the Bach really calls it a minog. Bevadai lo-romi chiyuv ole yoisim tztoko. It's no different than tztoko, and if a person's poor, he doesn't have to give mice. The Ramosh Shtermich has a tshuva in Tshuvas van August, where he quotes Aruch HaShulchan. He writes in number 11, Ladas Aruch HaShulchan, according to Aruch HaShulchan, kol Yehudi chai b'meiser, v'rakim ein lo ele lechem u'mayim potter. You gotta be really, really, really broke, that you only have bread and water. That's all you have. The bare minimum, then you tak a potter. But if anything above that, you'd be chayv. He means even on the minhag. Even on the minhag side. No, he's saying that he thinks that everyone should do it, even though, again, it might not be a mitzvah deraisa or derabanan, but it's something that we should all do. Then he writes, we heard from the Brisker Rav, Avoshamati mimorna goimi brisk, the Brisker Rav, the chomisha matzovik dochuk. Anyone whose financial situation is very pressing, ashizokuk la'azor mechem, he's not doing well enough, he needs to live off of other people. I mean, let's say a person can't make it on his own salary. He gets handouts. He gets support from other people. Says the Biskirav, he doesn't live a very lavish lifestyle. He's mamish just to survive, to break even, and needs help. Then, ain't tzarech lita meiser. Then says the Biskirav, this is such a fellow, he shouldn't give meiser. The Ramah writes by tzedakah. He should take off meiser and give it to himself. You keep the ma'aser money for yourself. What do you? You give the ma'aser money to someone else who needs it. You need it. Keep it for yourself. So the Menachas Yitzchak has this an interesting chiddush. He thinks you should take off ma'aser, subtract it, put it into an account, and then take your money from that account. This way you're being mafrish ma'aser. So you're taking off ma'aser, you're putting it aside, then you're taking that exact money from the account. This way you're at least going through the procedure of being mafrish ma'aser. Okay, it's the same thing. It's the left pocket to the right pocket, but at least you're making a ma'aser for Russia. That was his opinion. Reb Asher Weiss writes the same thing in number 12. Says Reb Asher Weiss, L'chei nira, t'misha parnasasi d'chukam oid, someone whose financial situation is very pressing, ain't tzarech l'hafish ma'isik sofim. He does not have to take off ma'isik. Afa b'shevade midis chasidus royal itin. Even though maybe it's right, it's a nice thing to do, he's not chayif. But nonetheless, he's assuming that it's only a minig. That's what he writes in other places. It's only a minig. So if it's a minig and a guy is broke, he's not mechayiv to give. This is talking about a person that has enough money. So people sometimes are not careful with this. They don't pay their bills because they say, I have to take off my sin. Therefore, I don't pay my what I'm supposed to pay. That's probably not correct according to this. You should have to pay what you need to pay. And if there's left, good. If there's not left. It's probably not right for someone to say, well, I can't pay my chayivis because I'm taking off my sin. We'll see later that Rabbi Yitzhak Gabadi has a tshuva where he thinks, let's say a person's in terrible debt. So every month the money comes in, he's trying to pay off his debt. So he thinks you shouldn't pay Meiser. First pay off your debts and then we'll talk. First get out of debt. When you get out of debt, we can talk about paying Meiser. Others disagree. They say, what's the difference? You got to take off Meiser, you got to take off Meiser. But here, Rabbi Moshe Weiss is telling us if a person doesn't have enough money, he shouldn't be taking off Meiser. Okay, what about women? Are women mechuyevim Meiser? The answer is why they're not mechuyevim Meiser. Women are mechuyevim Tzedakah. Anisha is mechuyevim Tzedakah just like a man's mechuyevim Tzedakah. If you looked at the Lashon HaShulchan Aruch, the Lashon HaShulchan Aruch doesn't say ish, it doesn't say man, it says everyone is mechuyev to give tzedakah. So I just quoted it just to put it on paper because people don't know this. Number 13, a sefer written called Halichas Bas Yisrael. It's a terrific sefer, all of halachas pertaining to women. And he writes, Benoyis of the mitzvah tzedakah, tafish kolisha maisik sofim. Besides tzedakah, every lady has to give maiser. Mikol mashem avicha, whatever she gains. Obviously, if she's married with her husband, a single girl, there's no reason why a single girl shouldn't give tzedakah, and there's no reason why a single girl shouldn't take meiser. So a girl doesn't have a job, she should take meiser. If she has a job, she should take meiser. So women are obligated, men are obligated, everyone's the same. What about children? Is there an inyan of chinuch? Let's say your 11-year-old kid goes out and gets a job. And he comes and says, Dad, look, I made $100. You tell him, okay, great. Give 10% to tzedakah. Is there a concept of chinuch for the mitzvah of tzedakah and for the mitzvah of meiser? So the Sefer Ginyan Torah, he quotes over here, he thinks not. He brings riots from many places that there's no concept of mitzvah of chinuch, not on tzedakah, nor when it comes to meiser. Not everyone agrees to that. If you look at number 15, the Sefer Chutshani by Reb Nissen Karelitz writes, "Im yesh l'kot demoyis mishaloi, if a kid has his own money, ha'av chayv l'chanuch b'moyis shalaben litil tzedakah, the father should be mechanechim to give his money away. Should explain to the child there's a concept called meiser. What happens if the kid earned the money when he was 12 and now he's 13? The money's still around. So that's also a shaila. Now he's a mechuyev to take off the money because now he's a gadol. But there is a concept of just making children aware of the fact that when they get money, they have to realize that at some point the money goes somewhere else. Rav Shechter says over, I think it's very true. He says the whole idea of meiser is us to realize that it's not our money. We think it's my money, it's my meiser money, so I can give to who I want. There's rules. There's rules and regulations where you give your money to. You can't say, well, I want to give all my money to the Salvation Army. I'm very close to it. I think it's important. Okay, we'll see tonight that you might be allowed to give a little bit. But there's rules and regulations to your own money. Even though you worked for it and you worked hard, it's not yours. You got to know where to give it and who to give it to. So it's an important lesson for the children. Although it might not be mechuyev technically based on the rules of chinuch, it's definitely a worthwhile lesson. Mr. Karel says a bigger chiddush. He says, you know, everyone in shul, then they daven with the son, so they give the son a penny to give to tzedakah. He thinks there's no such concept of chinuch for that. He writes over number 16, near daav einu mechoyev litin lebnoi mois k'dei litin tzedakah. He's not mechoyev to do so. Lo ani oimid lefneim k'dei lechanuch ebe mitzvah tzedakah. Why? Kivin de ein lekotin mois mishaloi ein kam tchilas chiyuv shel mitzvah tzedakah. He says the kid really has no chiyuv. If the kid earns money, so then he has a chiyuv. The kid has no money, he's broke. So dad gives him a quarter to give the tzedakah. So the reason why fathers do this is not because they're obligated. Fathers just do this because they think it's good chinuch. They want the kid to become rogel in giving tzedakah. But I think in this and Karel, it's correct maybe. There's no halachic chiyuv, but I think the idea is a good idea just to get our children rogel to be able to part with their own money. Because he says, because right now in this matzav there's no chiyuv. Yeah, he has. There's a whole Amdusha piece where he talks about why is it different than other mitzvahs. I just thought it was a fascinating halach. I figured it's relevant to our sugya. Yes. Okay, but now we need to get to the real shaila. So where does the maaser money go? So whether you give a tenth, whether you give a fifth, whether you're a man, you're a lady, where are you putting your money? Where should the money go? So the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch very clearly. You may not use maaser money for any mitzvahs. Kigoyin, neivus lebeisa knesses, to pay for the electricity in shul, or shad dvar mitzvah, or other mitzvah needs, rak yitnu laniyim. The money should be given straight to poor people. So the Ramah seems to be very, very clear. Meiser money straight to poor people. Nothing to talk about. It doesn't go to mitzvahs. It doesn't go to build a mikvah. It doesn't go to pay for another, to make someone's chasen who doesn't have money. No. One thing. Go straight to aniyim. That's where the money should go. So the Ramah seems to be very, very clear. Nothing to discuss. That's where the money's supposed to go. Now, what's not clear in the Ramah is, does he talk about my, does he mean my mitzvah? Or does he mean someone else's mitzvah? When he writes, I can't use a mitzvah, does that mean because I have a mitzvah? Meaning I have to buy an esrog. I can't use meiser money to buy an esrog. But can I use meiser money to buy you an esrog? Or to ensure you have a mitzvah? Or does it mean I can't use meiser to do my mitzvah? That's not so clear in the reading of the Ramah. So the Shach writes over here, number 18. He quotes from the Mashal Vahdui, Shekas B'Shem Tshuvas Mareinu Rav Menachem El Tzadik, Chol mitzvah, Shetovel Yodei, any mitzvah that finds its way to your lap, Kigoyen Liyaz Bal Bris. To make a bris, to make a chasam a kiyagavno, or if you want to buy svarim so people can learn, so people can borrow. You want to have a library, so you buy svarim to open it up to the community. If let's say you normally wouldn't be able to do this mitzvah unless you use meiser money, So the Shach seems to disagree with him. He thinks that if you have a mitzvah that finds you a way, and you normally can't afford to pay for someone's chasana, but you have Maisa money, so you have money sitting in an account, then now you can give $10,000 to make a chasana. He thinks that you could do. So here the Shach seems to disagree with the Ramah and thinks you may use it for mitzvahs. The Taz, number 19, says the same idea. The Taz writes, Ulenyan liknes mitzvah veisaknes is vemais mais. And really, the imishas knias a mitzvah he daita alze, if at the time when you're buying it, that's what your cheshma was. Meaning, you can't obligate yourself to support a mitzvah and then say, oh no, I don't have enough money, oh let me use maisa money. It has to be that you say to yourself, okay, I have X and Y in my maaser fund, I'm going to give $20 for my maaser money to pay for the shul's electricity. But let's say you say to yourself, you get up and shul, you say, I'm promising to pay the shul's electricity. Then you go and you realize you don't have enough money to pay the shul's electricity. You say, oh great, I got money in the maaser fund. You can't do that. Why? Because the major principle with maaser money is you're not allowed to use maaser money for any obligation that you have. Anything that's a responsibility on you, you may not use maaser money. So I'm not mechuyev to pay for the shul's electricity. But then if I decide to pay the shul's electricity, I can use maaser money. But if I decide to pay the shul's electricity money straight out, and now I'm stuck because I didn't pay it, that's a davar shebechuyev. Davar shebechuyev can't be for maaser money. This is the big shaila when a person buys aliyas on Shabbos, or he gets a misha beirach. He has to be careful that he says to himself, you know what, I have X and Y in my maaser fund, and I want to give that money to the shul, I want to give the money to the when I make the misha beirach. Then the Taz goes on, he says, let's say I buy an aliyah in shul and I buy it for my neighbor, and now my neighbor is all touched and he's so happy, or I give it to someone and I get a kickback. He says that's not a problem. He says, how did it work with real meiser? How did you decide who to give it to? So the Gemara talks about teves and I give it to someone who I like, my neighbor, someone who's gonna. There's always kickbacks, so to say, when distributing meiser. So here also, I can give meiser money, although I'll get a kickback because now my neighbor likes me and I bought shlishi for my boss, and then, that was great. I bought shlishi for my boss, now he loves me, or I bought shlishi for the rabbi, now he's my best friend. They're all kickbacks. That's all mut. He says, but if let's say, for example, when you did it, you thought you were going to pay out of pocket. That's not allowed. That's like playing some form of obligatory responsibility, which you may not do. So we have the Shach and the Taz, both seemingly disagreeing with the Ramah that hold you may use Maisa money. Again, has to be, meaning you can't first decide to support and then figure out the money. And if someone comes to you and says, listen, I need $10,000 to make a chasana, you say, no problem, I'll take care of it. And you come back and you realize you don't have $10,000 in your account. You have Maisa money. So you got to make sure you say to yourself, okay, I have Maisa money, I'm going to give you from my Maisa account. Then he talks about the Svarim Shaila, which for many years in Klal Yisrael, people were buying Svarim from Maisa. Now, if you like Svarim, it's a very expensive hobby. Svarim can get expensive, and if you like to have all the Svarim, and many great Rabbanim have, so great Oitzah Svarim, it gets very pricey. So the question is, can you use Maisa money to buy Svarim? So the Taz basically lays it out very clearly. He says, if you're going to buy Svarim with Maisa money, you got to write on it, it doesn't belong to me. Because what's going to happen if a guy buys money, Maisa money with Svarim, which is supposed to be for the public, and then he dies? So the Yashim think, well, we just yashed this huge library from our father. He didn't yashed anything. It doesn't belong to him. It belongs to the shul. So you have to write on it that this was bought with Maisa money. So for a while in history, this was a very common activity. People would buy Svarim with Maisa money, and they'd write. Many later Acharim said, today you can't do that. Because let's be honest, if I buy Svarim today, where's it going to stay? In my house. Now, oh, you're sure. Anytime you want, knock on my door, I'll let you come into my library and use my Svarim. It's a joke. So if I buy Svarim and donate it to the shul, that's fine. That's Mamish Meiser. That's okay. But if I buy a Sefer and I put it in my library with my combination lock on the front door and I tell you, yeah, if you call me, maybe I'll let you in if I'm in the mood. That's not Mashal or Rabin. So Rav Moshe, they quote B'Shem Rav Moshe, and later Acharim felt that today it's very, very hard unless you Mamish have an open door policy. Like we mentioned last week from the Satmar Rebbe. Satmar Rebbe used to have people walking in and taking Svarim off the shelf. If you have such a house, maybe. But I think most of us, we don't have such a house. So if I buy a Sefer, no one else is getting access to it. So then you Takash and use it for Meiser money. It should come from non-Meiser money. So we have the Shach and the Taz say Meiser money can go to mitzvahs. Fine. So seemingly we don't go like the Rambam. The Bir HaGoyim.
Sefer Torah.
So Sefer Torah, they talk about maybe you have an obligation to write a Sefer Torah. If you assume each person has an obligation to write a Sefer Torah, then you would not be allowed to use it for Meiser money. If you hold every Jew has an obligation to write Svarim and buy Svarim.
You're keeping it for yourself, but if you're giving it to a shul,
then it would be like any other donation that you give to a shul, right? That wouldn't... Svarim, according to the Rush, is like Sefer Torah. So the Bir HaGoyim has a different way of learning the Mechaber. He thinks the Mechaber doesn't mean, the Ramah, sorry, doesn't mean you're not allowed to use Maaser money for mitzvahs. He writes, Pirush, Shebelav achi mechuyev l'kapodim l'aseis mitzvazu. The Ramah meant, I'm not allowed to use it for mitzvahs that I have to do. I can't use Maaser money to buy a pair of tefillin. I gotta buy a pair of tefillin. That's my job. But if I have a maisa, avol yiroitza lasad mitzvah she'ein ekvar mechuyiv. But if let's say I have a mitzvah, I don't have to make a wedding for you. I don't have to pay your Pesach bills. I have to pay for my matzah. I don't have to pay for your matzah. That can come from maisa. So then even the Rama agrees that you could use for mitzvahs and not only give it to the aniyah. Rabbi Shavai says a fourth possibility, quoting from the Chassam Sefer, where he suggests that it depends on when you started to give. He says on number 20, V'chein kasav, b'shachuvas Chassam Sefer, simon reish lamar alf, elo shetolo zeis b'kavanos ha'rishena. The dafkim, how he said, daitem etchil l'shtamish b'kisbe ma'isr l'shar tzachim mitzvah shari. And when I opened up my ma'isr fund, I said to myself, you know what? I want to make ma'isr for all mitzvahs. So then it's shari. However, if I set up, I said, you know what? I only want to give taniyim, then I should only give to taniyim. We saw earlier from the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim said that you should really have two separate givings. One should be for mitzvahs, and one should give to the aniyim. So we have so far two possibilities of where your money should go. Either it should go to aniyim, which might be the best option, or it should go to other mitzvahs that you don't have to do. A mitzvah that might come your way, help out someone make a chasana, help someone else buy tefillin, things like that. The Chafetz Chaim in the Sefer Avos Chesed lays it out a little differently. He writes like this. V'ata nova devaris oifen achalukas shal mois meiser. Now I'm telling you how you're supposed to distribute your money. Hini yadua de mois meiser ikrei hu letztaka lechalak l'aniyim. First and foremost, says the Chafetz Chaim, it goes to poor people. Ukroivov aniyim heim kaidmen. This a lot of people don't realize. They support wonderful things, but if they have relatives that they know are struggling, give to the relatives first. And there's a whole list of relatives. Who goes first, who has precedent, first cousins, and brother-in-laws, and sons, and daughters, and fathers, the whole list. But we should keep in mind that relatives should come first. If we know relatives that are struggling, we shouldn't be supporting other organizations first. We should be giving it to our relatives that are in need. Then he says, what happens? Try to find the aniyim that are learning Torah. Many times those two go together. People that are devoting their day to learning Torah are probably not the wealthiest of people. Therefore, you should give it to them. And he explains, in order so you can strengthen the Torah. Because he quotes this Medrash Tanchuma, we mentioned it last week, it's definitely worth mentioning again. The real Maaser was given to support those that are toiling and learning. If you remember, who did Avraham Avinu give his first Maaser to? He gave it to Shem. Why was Shem? Shem was the biggest Talmud Chacham of the town. Now he brings another raya, because it says in the Medrash, Aser ta aser, aser b'shvil shetis asher, take off a tenth so you'll become rich. Aser b'shvil shetis chaser, give away a tenth, you won't lose. Remez l'mefarshe yamim, says this is the Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Re'eh. This is a remez to those people who go out in the yamim, they go out to work. Haynu, oysen anoshim, oyskim b'mischor, she'afishu echad me'asara la'amolei Torah. This is the words of the Tanchuma. They should give away a tenth to those that are toiling and learning. The Gamaideza Hiftiach HaKosav, and then you promised the bracha of Chanun and Abzois. You could test me because the pasuk says, "Have you as called Ma'aser al Beis Oitzer v'yiterev b'beisu b'terev b'beisi?" There should be food in my house. Who's in Hashem's house? So either Anim are in Hashem's house or Amoli b'Torah. That's Hashem's house. So the Chafetz Chaim believes very strongly that one of the best places where a person should distribute his Ma'aser money to is Amoli b'Torah. It should go to people that are learning Torah. If you look in the Sefer Derech Amunah, this is Reb Chaim Kanevsky, Sefer number 23, he writes that where should Ma'aser money go? So he writes, Yesh Deos im Yochel Lasis Mimotz Ma'aser Shloi Shai Mitzvahs. It's debatable whether you're allowed to use Ma'aser money for other mitzvahs. Kigoyin, Neos Abay Sekneses, Elias Baal Birzach, Tachos Vekal Chop, Elik Tez Svarim Lashidon, Chomish Yitzah, Tiyei Shoyim, the Chol Elu, B'lav Ochil Ayoyse Kein. He quotes the first Shita, and then he doesn't really pick a side. He just says, V'yesh Machmirim Bezeh, unless you made up in the beginning, he thinks when a person starts giving ma'aser, he should make up that I want to be able to give my ma'aser to all mitzvahs. I don't want to do just aniyim or just talmud b'Torah. So when a person starts, first of all, he should make a blin neder, and secondly, he should leave himself open. He's going like the Chassam Sefer, that it's totally him why you're giving it. What about buying aliyahs in shul? So we saw based on the Taz, a person would be allowed to buy an aliyah in shul as long as he had in mind that when he's buying it, he plans on using it for ma'aser. And that's where Shlomo Zalman Paskins in the Sefer Aliyah Shlomo, Shlomo Zalman Paskins number 24, Mutal ishtamish b'mois ma'aser k'safim avur k'nias aliyah l'tera. You may use ma'aser money for an aliyah. Ach l'chatchila yisne miroish b'shas afrosh shakach yesh b'day l'neg. However, you should have in mind that when you started taking off ma'aser, you wanted to leave it open for these types of things. So when you get to shul membership is slightly more complicated because it might be a business deal. Shul membership might be like buying something. You're getting things back in exchange. It might be more than teva sana. It's not just that you're getting, well, if I give money to the shul lets me use the hall. It might be that I'm actually buying rights to use the shul. That's part of what membership includes. If that's what membership includes, so then we'll see if Yaakov Kamenetsky felt that may not come from Maisa money. But let's, for example, you have a shul where if you don't give membership, they won't throw you out. They'll still give you a seat. They'll still let you be part of the shul. Membership is just to be mechazik the shul. Then it could come from Maisa money because you don't have to give the money. But if you're getting something out of the membership, it's giving you rights to use the shul hall. And it's giving you, I know some shuls, if you pay membership, you get to have access to the rabbi's cell phone number. Or you get to call them in certain hours. Shuls have different policies. So, you know, that's a big. I don't know if that's tovus or no. That's straight. I don't know. I'm not sure. But Blinad will try to tackle some of these issues. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes over here. I'm sorry. In number 27, we're now going to discuss a more complicated shaila. So what do we have so far? So far we have either aniyim, amoli b'toira, mitzvahs. They're all options of a person who can distribute his ma'aser money. It sounds like from the Chofetz Chaim, the best of the best is really to give it to those amoli b'toira that need money, but you can give it to mitzvahs that are not obligatory on you or mitzvahs that you weren't mechayev yourself. The next major discussion or area of discussion is what about supporting your children? Is a person really obligated to support their children? The truth is no, believe it or not. According to the Gemara in Ksubis, after the age of 6, you are no longer obligated to feed your children. They're on their own. Let them get a job and figure it out, right? After the age of 6. The Gemara says in Ksubis that if you support your child beyond 6, that's tzedakah. That's considered 6.
Or
60. Or 6D. So the Gemara says in Ksubis, after the age of 6, they're considered gedolim. They're big kids already. They don't need you. They're on their own. So the Gemara says if a person feeds his children beyond the age of 6, he's doing tzedakah. Oh, tzedakah. So now I can figure if my kids were all above the age of 6, I would be able to use all my expenses. That's all my ma'aser. Everything I give to them, their food, their clothing, their cell phones, whatever else I give to them, is that all ma'aserable? Can I all use my ma'aser money? So this is a very big machlokes achronim. The Shach in number 27 writes, just to mention before we go further, the Aruch HaShulchan also says that any money that's going to help the shul, that's all included in tzedakah. So anytime a person gives money to the shul, that's all can be ma'aser money. Again, we're not talking about membership for now. Person makes a donation to the shul to help the shul, he buys an aliyah, he makes a mishaberach, the Aruch HaShulchan says, you make a mishaberach. That mishaberach can be ma'aser money. Okay, so all... Sponsoring a kiddush, I'm not so sure how much money... The shul makes money off of it? Or just people eat?
I don't know.
I think some shuls, the way it works is, no, I think some shuls, in the sponsorship, they make it more expensive than it really is, and they pocket a little bit. Yeah, I think that's the way it works, right? Meaning, if you sponsor a kiddush, they'll tell you it costs $250. The kiddush doesn't really cost $250. It really costs a little less. And then the shul makes, no?
It's a fee for the room.
Okay, I'm not so sure how that works then. I don't know if the shul's making money on the deal. If the shul's making some money, yeah. If you're just sponsoring a kiddush, we'll talk later on if we get to it, if not next week, Blinader. Let's say a person wants to give money to Avu Subanim Learning. Beautiful concept, Avos Subanim. He wants to donate the pizza for Avos Subanim. So the Achronim, right, that's all Meiser money. That's fine. You don't have to give money to Avos Subanim. You don't have to support some father and son to eat pizza on Matzah Shabbos. But by doing so, you mean Mechazik Torah. You're enabling people to learn Torah. If a person wants to make a Siyam, we're going to learn. He can make a Siyam with Meiser money. It's a mitzvah to make a Siyam. But it has to be some form of a Teyelis. You know, we'll talk more. What about an Ariv? What about a Mikvah? These are a little bit more complex shayos. So let's talk about supporting our own children. You want to hear this so you can figure out if it helps or not. And then we'll have to talk about what about giving Maisa to your grandchildren. Would a person be allowed to support their grandchildren with Maisa money? Is grandchildren different than children? Very important shayla. So the Shach over here, number 27, in Yeradei Reish Mem Tes, writes the following halach. He writes, quoting from the Rambamberg, who says, Ulefazim ma'isav laniyim, or Lebonav HaGedolim, to give away your money to your older children, she'enechayiv l'tababem, that you're not obligated to support. Again, older here doesn't mean 32. It means 6 and older. Says the Shach, mutter, that can come from ma'aser money. Da'afil l'aviv mutter losses, even to give your father, to support your father, imu ani mishum kavod aviv, Lebonav de mutter b'makim she'en b'ir yuchelas ha'parnas ha'makim acher, tezeu havit tzedakah. Says the Shach, that's tzedakah. The Gemara in Ksubis says supporting your children above the age of 6 is tzedakah. You don't have to. We all do it. Yeah, we're all good people, but we don't have to do it. So if we don't have to do it, it's stuck. If it's stuck, it can become from mice. So according to the Shach, we always think, oh, we're passing always like the Shach. The Shach is, you know, the greatest basic. According to the Shach, once the kids hit the age of 6 and above, it doesn't help me too much. I only have one above the age of 6. I still have 2 under that age. But for the ones above the age of 6, all their expenses, whatever you're giving towards them. Again, obviously, the food that you buy for yourself, that's not, but whatever you're giving to them, their support, that can be of Maiser money. So that's a shayla that we need to talk about. That's a shayla of what happens now. Today we have government regulation and we have other things that work into consideration that does it now become obligatory. But that's the ruling of the Shach. The Taz disagrees. And this is, I think, one of the rare examples that's worth mentioning where we don't follow the Shach, we follow the Taz. although we have this, we spoke about this many times, this Rav Salveitchik used to say over Masari that he has in his family, that the Shach always, the Taz always loses. He loses to Magen Avraham, he loses to the Shach. But there are exceptions, and that's clear. There are exceptions where the Taz sometimes beats the Shach, and this seems to be one of those. I think most of us don't subscribe to the Shach, as we'll see in a few minutes. But the Taz writes, number 28, V'koshke nefreya mehem masis dov da aser. Let's say a person has a tax. Let's say there's a tax to live in your town. Everyone has to pay a tax. So that can't come from Maisa money. Even though that's considered tzedakah, that's called paying an obligation. Teda says the Taz will bring you a raya. A person feeds the small children. Here, ketanim means above the age of six. Says the Taz, would anyone dream of thinking that you'd be allowed to use Maisa money to support your children? Yeah, the Shach thought like that. I mean, the Taz makes it sound like this is an unbelievable, crazy idea. Who would have thought of such a thing? Okay, the Taz lived before the Shach. The Taz was much, much older than the Shach. When the Shach wrote his sefer, the Taz was much, much, much older. So the Taz for all those years thought like that. He thought of a davar pashut. There's no tzad in the world that anyone can justify using Maisa money to support their older children, their six and above children, although the Gemara calls it stuck. The Shach says, yeah, why not? It makes a lot of sense. So we have a very fundamental machlokes between the Shach and the Taz, whether or not a person could use Maisa money. So I would have thought, if I didn't read any later Achrayim, if I was a straight Shulchan Aruch guy, I learned Shach and Taz, I'd say Shach and Taz, we go like the Shach. So any kid above the age of six, all their expenses can all come from Maisa. However, later Achrayim weighed in very heavily on this issue. For example, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, number 29, he says, even though the Gemara makes a drasha, that what does it mean to do tztaka all the time? This refers to someone who supports his children when they're small. Says Aruch HaShulchan, no, the Taz is, the Shach is not correct. It is not included in real tztaka to support your children. This whole comment from the Gemara that supporting children above the age of six tztaka, that was really drush. That's a big comment from the Aruch HaShulchan to make. We generally take Gemara seriously. We take them at their face value. He says that was just a drush. The gamze mitzvah. Says Achashul, we never ever dream in a million years that you can really use that for tztaka. Dimloikein, lo'ilam lo'yagir la'anim. The anim will never get a penny. Everyone's going to use all their ma'aseh to support their children. Now that's not such a tiny. There are people that are older whose kids are now, it's not negeah. Kids that are younger. There's not everyone in the world that has kids above the age of six that are negeah to. Some people have kids that are 36 and they're not negeah anymore. But okay, that's the comment of the Aruch HaShulchan. He doesn't really prove it. He just basically says it can't be because if that would be true, anim would never get money. Okay. What? Right, so he's saying that it can't be, because if the Shach is right, then this idea of giving Maisa Taniyim would be irrelevant. So maybe it is, okay.
Six is the low end, what's the upper end?
So we have to talk about that also. When does it end? We'll have to talk about that also, probably next week, probably another. So he writes, v'af ha-megadol b'nei banov u'b'nei b'isav. What happens if you give money to your grandchildren? So most of us assume we don't have a mitzvah to support our grandchildren. I don't have an obligation. We talked once a while ago, right? So we talked a while back when we talked about the mitzvah to honor your grandparents. Possibly the honor of the grandparents goes both ways. You have a mitzvah to honor your grandparents, and your grandparents have to maybe teach you Torah or support your Torah, which many moistis today call up grandparents demanding tuition money. And they say, your son can't pay, your daughter can't pay, so you have to pay. The question is that a legitimate time? We spoke about that in that chip. But here the Aruch HaShulchan writes that to support your grandchildren, nearly she'ena yochel achshav zeb b'chal tztaka b'maiser. He says, you are not allowed to use that into Meiser. You cannot help out your grandchildren and call that Meiser. Why? Because he says, B'nei banim areim kibonim. Now, we talked a lot about how that works with daughters and sons, and is that so simple? But the Aruch HaShulchan seems for davar pashut, without any raya, that a person cannot give money for their grandchildren. You cannot give your Meiser money to your grandchildren. If, let's say, your son or daughter are having a hard time, and you decide, you know what, I'm going to help out. So I'm going to pay for my grandson something with my Meiser money. I can't do that. What?
Why? That's helping your son.
No, but it might be that you... No, because he's saying you have to. You have to help your grandchildren. That's like paying for yourself. He's a craving my third cousin. I don't have to worry about my third cousin. Now, this is a very big chiddush, that you're mechuyev to support your grandchildren. Where did that come from? I don't know if the grandparents in the room want to hear that, but maybe the grandkids want to hear that. I don't know. But where does this come from? Where did Aruch HaShulchan dream this up? So there's a tshuva from Shmuel Voz and Shevet Alevi. I think we're going to have to stop here due to time restraints, that we'll have to see more B'li Neder if we have this share next week. I don't know if I'm going to be here next Tuesday night. I have a chasm on Lakewood. I don't know when we'll be able to make the share up, either Monday or Wednesday. We'll have to discuss with the hierarchy how that works. But I would like to finish up discussing some more practical scenarios of when Maisa money may be distributed and when it may not be used.